break into groups and do some things together. But I want to share a little bit at the beginning here, and then you'll get the idea of what we're supposed to be doing in the groups. Have you been enjoying having this time this week?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, if someone has something that they would like to share, there'll be a little spot here. That you can you hear me pretty good?
Yes.
Is it better? Okay. All right. I want to open up and turn to 2 Timothy 3:16. Can everybody see pretty well, too, or do we need to open the curtains? Okay, great. 2 Timothy 3:16. This is a fairly familiar verse to most of us, but I'm going to read it from the ESV. It says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God." Well, that's a cool translation, isn't it? "And profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." And then verse 17 goes on with a "so that," or "that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." So many times we stop and we explain a lot about what the word is for, God breathed. But what I want to just focus on for a minute here is that it has this "so that" clause in there. Like, the reason why we have the word in all those different forms, whether it's doctrine, reproof, correction, training, whatever part of the word it is, it's all God-breathed. But the purpose of it, that God gave it to us, is so that we could be complete and equipped. And King James says what? Perfect and thoroughly furnished, right? For every good work. Is that? Okay, we'll just turn it down for a second. Okay, the Aramaic for verse 17 is really interesting. It says, so that we could be mature and complete, like full. So we've been given the gift of Holy Spirit, right? And that makes us full. It makes us complete. So we have all the ability given to us in Christ. But then it has to be put into action and come out, right? So what the word does is it teaches us the instruction that we need directly from God so that we can put the ability we've been given in Christ into action. So it's all about action. The word equips us so that we can do something, right? I wanted you to just remind you, remember, about Psalm 1, right? The Word of God is profitable. It's supposed to yield fruit. There's success. There's prosperity that happens when we spend time in doing what we're doing. So this is just so exciting. I'm really, really encouraged this week, I guess. Because even as I was doing some of the journaling and going, well, you know, I'm teaching this, I better do it, right? So I got my little book out, and I started writing and everything, and then all of a sudden, I was like, this is what I do all the time. This is so much fun. I don't necessarily always write it out like we had gone over it last week, but we got to, I forget which verse, in the middle of the week, about Psalm 18:30, about how the Lord is a shield and a buckler, right? And so then I was reading along and doing all the writing and everything, and then I got to the end and went, I kind of know what a buckler is. So then I went on the internet, and it was kind of confusing what was on there. And so then I went into my old Bible dictionaries and looked up and found out that the buckler is really the small shield. And the one that's translated shield there is the big full body shield, like the picture of the armor of God, right? Where it's the full length of the shield. So, wow, that's great. The buckler, you know, the Lord is a buckler to us, to everybody who flees for refuge to Him. So anyway, Is there somebody who would like to share just for a few minutes about something that they got blessed with or learned this week or were really enjoyed? Did you enjoy doing the journaling?
Go ahead. When we did the, actually continuing in the first verse, but the word of Christ, equality, richly, and all wisdom, the next verse after that is whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And just, it was really full of saying to me to put that both together. Like, the reason why we're able to do whatever we do heartily as unto the Lord is because we spend time in the Word and allow it to dwell in us richly and become a part of us.
Exactly. Yeah. And that brings up something that we're going to get into in just a minute here, is that we can't just take one verse. You know, that's the other thing. I have a list of only single verses, right? But what it leads you to do is read the whole passage, right? I don't even know what the rest of the whole context of this is. So, anybody else wanted to share for a minute? Claudia.
I kind of got stuck on Joshua 1:8 because it's such a long verse. But so I jumped it. And it just jumped out to me that whenever there's a comma in there, you know, I had to chunk it because my memory is not so good. But each part can almost be like a standalone. You know, like, don't forget of the law in the book, you know. Why? Or because, you know, you should meditate on it day and night, you know. But why? Because it's going to be profitable. You know, each part has, like, all of this expanded thing that you can think about.
Right.
So I'm still on that, but it's all good. It's God's word, right?
That's for sure. Yeah. I agree. I think sometimes the way it actually works out like on an ongoing basis is that you can take one verse or one passage for a whole week,
right,
and just keep going over different aspects of it. And as you'll see today, what we're going to be talking about is asking questions. And once you get into this kind of thing about asking questions, then it can go much deeper and longer on any particular passage. But the reason why I wanted every verse a day was so that it would develop the habit, you know, and it doesn't matter if you get stuck or you don't do it or anything. It's just a way to get started. Now, I want to make a brief comment about cross-references. In your Bible, do you have little cross-references either in the margin or down at the bottom? Okay, well, this past week I was looking at the cross-references and looking up some of the verses to see if that was a way, you know, that would kind of help people to look at another verse that talks about the same subject. And there are two classic books on cross-references. One is called The Treasury of Scripture Knowledge, and the other one is Torrey's textbook of the Bible, topical textbook of the Bible. And those are all over the internet, and you can look them up. But what I found when I was looking to see if, you know, that would be a valid way to, like, kind of guide everybody to check out some additional verses, I realized that it actually is better for you to think about a verse that you know and let God be the one that really inspires you to go to a different passage or go to something that's similar. So just taking, for example, the 2 Timothy 3:16, right? The one that I thought of to go to is 2 Peter 1:20, 21. And I want to read it to you from the Aramaic because it's so such a wonderful translation. It says, knowing this first, that all prophecy was not ascending out of its own writing. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but as they were led by the sanctified Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit, men of God spoke sanctified words. And so the point of 2 Peter is, again, the same thing. It's that the Word of God is profitable, and it didn't come from man. It was not of somebody's own writing. Like, you know, Moses just sat down and said, oh, let's see what I'm going to write today. It was inspired by God to him, and then he wrote holy words. He wrote sanctified words. And so then that leads me to think about another verse, which is, thy words are spirit and they are life, right? They bring life. God's words are, they bring spiritual life. And so you see how you can progress, and you can do it by looking up words. If you want to look up definitions of words, there's lots of different ways to key those other verses off in your mind. So anyway, I kind of want to steer you away from the books and what other people think about what a cross-reference would be, and think of your own cross-references. All right? And that'll get the juices flowing here, too. All right. Now, asking questions. All right. The question that we asked last week was, what do the words mean? What does the verse say? Basically, kind of the facts. And what we spent the whole week doing was observing things, right? Where you would write down a word and then you'd think about what it was meaning. So that's the first question to always ask. And that's what we went over last week. Now, the second question is basically, what does the verse mean? In other words, what is the timeless truth that I can take out of this verse? Because no matter where it's written, whether it's the Old Testament or the New, and as you see on the paper, I tried to have a combination of both Old and New, because there's a lot of specific verses in the New Testament which are talking about who we are in Christ, and all of those are very, very important for us right now. But we can always learn a timeless truth from anywhere in the Bible. And it's all scripture was written for our learning, right? It's for what learning, though? What? It's to learn truth. And that's the first, that's the next question that we're going to be asking, is what is the timeless truth? And I'm going to give you an example of one in just a minute. But the third basic question is then, how does it apply to me right now? So the purpose of going through any of this kind of study is to go from observation all the way to application. Like that's the end result we want to get to. Like, what does this mean to me? All right. Now, we're going to take a verse that was yesterday's verse. And it's Psalm 107:20. So if you want to go there, you can. Psalm 107:20. Somebody want to read it in the King James?
He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions.
He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Okay. You were working on this yesterday, right? If you got a chance to. All right. What word stuck out of all of those? We're just going to emphasize one word when we talk about it.
Sent.
Okay. Let's say it together then with emphasizing sent, right? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Okay. So the reciting part, the verbalizing and vocalizing, is an important way to just get started. Now, did anybody write down in their book a translation that they really liked? Jean?
I have an International Standard Version. He issued his command to heal them. He delivered them from their destruction.
He issued his command and delivered them. Oh, that's good, huh? Anybody else have one that you found that you really liked?
This was the CEV. Uh-huh. And it says, God gave the order. and healed them. He rescued them from the pit.
He rescued them from the pit. Yeah,
he? This is an NET. He sent them an assuring word and healed them. He rescued them from the pits where they were trapped.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. That's the one I wrote down. Yeah, Al.
This is the NLT.
Mm-hmm.
He sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death.
Wow. Yeah, from the door of death. That's really good, snatching them too. So, yeah, so we're just kind of reviewing right now what we already did last week. Now, the next thing that we need to do, it'd be step number three, is to read the context. Okay? Once you've done everything we were working on last week, go back and read the context. So, would someone like to stand and read verses 13 to 21? Now you can. Okay.
Does it matter which version?
Do you have the ESV there?
No.
Okay.
I do.
All right. Okay. Great.
13 to 21?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we want to get as big a picture as we can of this.
Okay. Psalm 107:13. Then they cried to their Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts into the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquity suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man.
Wow. See, that already just reading it, you know, gives you some context of the idea of like, what word would you say was the most used through that whole reading, all those verses that stuck out? Rescue. And what about? Mm-hmm. But what about distress? It's talking all about this situation that Israel was in, where they were in distress, and it was going to the grave type of distress. Destruction, distress. That's why all those translations were like the pit or the grave, or, you know, when you get to the verse 20 and you're talking about he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from the pit, from where they were going down the drain, right? So you see how the context of all of the verses around it will actually show you the word that you should concentrate on to understand. So healed and healed from distress. So that's where the timeless truth is. So you're asking yourself, what is the timeless truth? It is that if you call out, you cry out to the Lord, he will deliver you. Right? How would you put what you would say the timeless truth was for that verse? You can
always
say
God answers forever. The timeless truth, is that what you asked?
Yeah, what's the truth that you can get out of it? You're asking the question, what does it mean? Yeah, he delivers us, right, when we cry out for help. That's the truth. That applies through every culture, every generation, every person. It doesn't matter. It's the truth that is overall that you can apply in any situation. It's not only about Israel. See? So that's what you're getting to in this question, is what's the truth that is eternal or that you can generalize? And then you write that down of like, if I cry to the Lord, he will deliver. from anything, you know, because distress could be anything. You know, it could be sickness, it could be financial worries, but there's, doesn't matter what the problem is either. See? That's where the like nugget of truth is. So that's the second question. And then the next question is about how do we get to the application? Well, how does this apply to me? And there's an acronym that I want to teach you. It's called PACES. You put the verse through its paces. And I adapted this from some of the questions that Rick Warren had in his study. But I think they're really good. It doesn't mean that these are the only questions that you could ever ask. It's just a way to start putting the verse through its paces. P-A-C-E-S. All right, the first question for P is there a promise that I can claim? The second one is an A, is there an attitude I can change? And number three, C stands for command, and is there a command I need to obey? E is example, is there an example I could follow? And S, is there something to praise or thank God for? So if we put this verse, Psalm 107:20, through its paces now here, okay? Is there a promise I can claim?
Can you give S again? S.
Is there something? S stands for something.
Uh-huh.
Something to praise God for. Okay, is there a promise to claim? All right? So, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their distress. What's the promise? But
Deliverance.
Okay. Good. He will deliver. So you can write that down. See, you put the P-A-C-E-S, and then you just write what you see. What's the promise? Okay, the second one is attitude. Is there an attitude I can change? Anybody have some ideas?
It sounds sort of like the attitude would be go to the word rather than what I think.
Ah, there we go.
It's word.
Right, exactly. Quite it.
Oh, simply just believe what it says, think God in his word.
Right. Mm-hmm. Bob?
Trust.
Trust.
They cried unto the Lord.
What?
They cried unto the Lord.
They cried unto the Lord, so they had to humble their hearts.
Humble.
See, so you see how it quickly starts to be something that you see you can do. It's an application of it, this personally to me. I need to humble my heart and my mind to what the word says. So if God says, by his stripes I was healed, then I got to get my mind there and believe that that's a word that he is sending to me. And that it will deliver me from my destruction. And I personally had to go through that this week because I was challenged with a health issue and I didn't know what to do about it. And I know all the verses on healing, you know. I can quote them, I can tell you them and everything. But it still comes down to, it's something I have to change in my heart. See? So this is how we start to apply it. Okay, number, the C is there a command I should obey? Or it could be an exhortation, right? Kelly? Cry out. Yeah. Right. Sometimes if we keep our problems all buried inside and then just they're stewing in there and they multiply somehow, right? They just kind of start festering and multiplying, and before you know it, you're in total worry mode, you know? Right?
Yeah, I think there's a good lesson to bring those things to God before they get out of control. Like, you know, if you go back even to verse 11, it says they rebelled against the word of God, condemned right. The council of high, and there was none to help. It's like they exhausted all of their resources, and then they called upon God.
Right.
But God still heard them.
Bless you.
and deliver.
Right. So, yeah, but they did. They were relying on their own situations. And the other thing in there, what about praise? Because mm-hmm. periodically through this whole psalm, it says, you know, praise God for the wonderful works, right?
Mm-hmm.
For
his goodness.
For his goodness, yeah.
Thankfulness, too.
Yeah, I mean, we've taught it a number of times before. Like, if you're in a distressful situation, then you praise God for what he's going to, you know he's going to do before it happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
You be thankful for something before. Okay, E, is there an example to follow or not follow? In this case, what's the example?
Well,
it's basically what Barney was saying already.
Yeah, the example is
that they were rebelling.
All these persons, right?
Right, that they were rebelling, and Israel had determined that they could figure out their own way, and they thought they had a better idea than God, right? Okay, so see that the lots of times that E, that example is again you're turning it though to apply it to me. Okay, well, I don't want to be like Israel. I don't want to rebel against you, God. And you start up this conversation then back and forth with God as your teacher, so to speak, and go, well, teach me how I don't do that. You know, help me to understand so that I'm not going to follow what Israel went down into the pit. I don't want to go in the pit, Father. You know, show me how to get out of this. And then the last one is praise. So we already talked a little bit, but throughout here it says to praise the Lord. But is there something specific to praise God for that you can praise God for? See? And in my case, through this week, when I did get the answer for what I needed for my health, it was such a relief. I was like, I can't help but praise you and thank you, God, for what you did. Because you showed me a path to walk in. Like you said in the manifestations, he's going to show us the path. So it's not also when he says he sent his word and healed them. He's not saying that it's some general word. It's a very specific word that I needed to hear right now. Right? He sent his word. What word? You could say, well, all of it, yes. But when we have a distressful situation, God has the word we need that moment. Isn't that exciting? He put this verse through its paces. Okay, so what we're going to do... One last thing. When you get all done with going through this, putting the verse through its paces, then you can write out a summary of what you learned. And you can do this all in your head, too. But if you're writing it, then get down to the end where you write a summary or sort of a paraphrase of what you were thinking about and what you learned. So this is what I wrote. I need to remember to humble my heart and believe that when I cry out in the time of trouble, God will answer, and then I need to obey. So you see, I'm putting it in I, first of all, and then I'm personalizing it to the place where I'm saying what I am going to do that's different from what I had been doing before. All right, we're going to break up into groups, and we're going to take the verse that's today, which is Deuteronomy 30:14, and we're going to spend about 20 minutes going through this way of putting a verse through its paces. So we're going to have this group over here. Allie's going to be in charge of. And Joelle's going to be on that table. Bob is